Matthew chapter 27, listen to this. Now as they came out, they found a man named Simon. Him they compelled to bear Jesus' cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him sour wine, mingled with gall to drink. And when he had tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. Then they crucified him, divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Verse 36. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. They put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers was crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, waging their heads, saying, "You who destroy the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself." They begin to mock him. They said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with scribes and elders, said, "He who saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Remember, he had just declared that he was the Son of God for the 3 years of his true ministry, 33 years of life. 44, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. Look at me just for a second. I begin to listen and study about the cross. And to be real honest, we, over all these years, have dumbed down the meaning of that cross. I mean, we wear it on our ears, around our necks. Some people have tattooed it on their bodies. Not really understanding what that cross represented. Because what it represented when you study it is torture. Only people that were robbers and murderers and that were sentenced to the death of what was called the crucifixion were the only ones that were put on a cross. Today we're talking about our Savior named Jesus, who was put on that cross. The cross again meant torture, humiliation. It was for all to see, because the cross with a hole dropped into the hole was designed to be up high so everybody could witness the crucifixion, the torturous, murderous, what some might call terrorism. And our Jesus is the one that hung on that cross. They used 5-inch nails. And I know sometimes we've been told that the nail was through his hand, hit the palm of his hand. No, it wasn't. Because if it was through the palm, the weight of his body would have ripped it out. The actual historical facts are that they nailed him under the bone of the wrist on both sides. And then they did the same thing in his feet. Jesus was not crucified and then died because of starvation or even the beating that he took going to the hill called Golgotha. the torture, the pain. No, he actually died of asphyxiation. Is that how you say it? Asphyxiation. Whatever. I mean, I got it out somehow. When he's asphyxiated, it's because he couldn't breathe. He actually died because of the fluid that went into his chest, around the cavity of his heart, because he was hanging there. Remember, it just said from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, 3 hours. And what would happen is those people that were crucified and put on the cross, the only way they were to breathe because of the weight of their body was they'd have to push up with the legs, rub their back on that old wood over and over and over so they can take a breath and then back down. And then they would push up. Well, you can imagine the pain of pushing up with your legs stuck with the way that they did it. I mean, a terrible way to die. I remember up on top of the hill. And this was a man, 100% man at this time, and 100% God, that could have got himself off of that cross. But again, the cross was a symbol of torture. And we've got to understand the meaning of the cross. The reason, though, we put it on a wall or, you know, put it on our ears and things like that is really because we need to remember that Jesus is not on the cross anymore. I don't think you should have something around your neck that has Jesus still on the cross for whatever meaning. No, because the meaning needs to be that he's off of that cross. And then we're going to read that he's not in the tomb anymore. You see, there's something powerful about understanding why Jesus was crucified, you see. A terrible, terrible death. Verse 45 of Matthew chapter 27. Again, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about that ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani, which literally meant, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, being 100% man, he had to feel everything that you and I feel today. And he overcame it. He overcame death. He overcame the grave. And he did it all because we can be overcomers by the blood of Jesus that he shed. Now look at this. Verse 47. Some of those who stood there were where they heard that said, this man is calling to Elijah. Immediately one of them ran up and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him. You see, it was humiliation. If you're the Son of God, get off of that cross. The mocking, the spitting that they did to our Savior. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. You drop down in verse 57. Is when they buried him in a tomb. In 62, you see where they set guards to watch. He had prophetically declared that he was going to be raised from the dead the third day. So they did everything they could for that, for someone not to steal the body so they can trick everybody. Big old stone they rolled to cover the door of the tomb, and then again, the guards. But look, at chapter 28 and verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothes was white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. In other words, they fell out under the power of God. You see, nothing could hold back what Jesus was about to do, how God was about to raise him from the dead. In other words, that's why we declare Jesus is not dead. He's alive. As you can see here, the angels, verse 5, answered and said to the woman, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here." Listen to this. "For he is risen." You see, that's something we got to shout about, y'all. Because he's not in that tomb any longer. Muhammad is in the tomb. Hare Krishna is in the tomb. Buddha is in the tomb. But I'm telling you, our Jesus is not in that tomb. Why? Because prophetically he declared he had to be crucified and then raised from the dead. It's something that'll make an Episcopalian shout. We've got to start getting excited about what Jesus did. Not just to find an egg. Thank God for the kids doing that. But I'm telling you, there's more power on what Jesus did. That's why we don't play church. We are the church. This building is not the church, y'all. It's just where we meet. You, my friends, are the church. And you've got to start understanding, you are the church. "Yeah, but I've done a lot of bad things in my life." Well, who hasn't? That's why Jesus died and then was raised from the dead, so that we can again have victory. So I want to close. Can you believe that? This is my first closing. All preachers have three. I want to close backing you up to Luke chapter 9. Turn there real fast. Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to wait for you to get there. When you get to Luke chapter 9, say amen. Amen. Say oh me if you're still looking. Okay, I'm waiting. Luke chapter 9. We talked a little bit about this last week as we were getting us prepared of what Jesus went through on the days before his resurrection. And one of the things that I kind of majored on that I want to really major on today as we close is what it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Ready? "And then Jesus said," because it's in red, "to all of them, if any desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the," say it louder, "take up the cross and daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but yet loses or himself is destroyed or lost?" Listen to me. The reason Jesus was raised from the dead so that you and I today can take up the cross and follow him. All through the epistles, in which are the Galatians and Ephesians and 1st and 2nd Timothy and all of those what we call epistles, they were written specifically, and a lot of them say this: be an imitator of Jesus. I'm not saying you got to get on a cross and be crucified. No. He did that. You don't have to do it. He did it for you. But it's vital that we take up the cross and follow him. I don't think I would be a very effective preacher if I don't help us as a pastor get people to follow Jesus. And if you imitate, if you're like Jesus, I didn't say to be Jesus. We know what happens when people say they're Jesus. Just ask Waco, Texas. They don't last very long. They may con a few people, but no. We're not to be Jesus, we're to be like Jesus. All through the Word, even in the Epistle of Colossians, tells us to do everything in Jesus' name. I tell our group every time we pray, and I can't tell you how many announcers of rodeos I've taught, when they usually at the start think that they're politically correct by not saying the name of Jesus, but just saying in His name, or just saying amen without ending the prayer in Jesus' name. Because listen to me, I was in Pendleton, Oregon with my wife, a new married couple, when 9/11 happened. And my mom called me, it was about 5 or 6 in the morning, that told me I was that our country was under attack. And we know about 9/11. I got a call from a world champion team roper and said, "Corey, you've got to go to the announcer and pray for this nation. We're under attack. Planes are going into buildings. It's a terrible." So I did. I went up there and I said, "Hey, I just wanted to see if I could pray for our country, it's under attack." And they, you know what they said to me? They said, "No, we've already had a moment of silence." Listen to me. A moment of silence means nothing. What means everything is when you declare something in Jesus' name with a spoken prayer. Amen. When you start taking up the cross, that means, and you follow Him daily, that means you start declaring things. When the enemy starts attacking, you tell that devil, who is just an old slew foot, he's just an old fallen angel that thought he was God that got kicked out of heaven, you are higher than the angels because you were created in the image of God in His likeness. An angel has to stand at the presence of God. You as a person that was created by God, who is an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, who is worthy, praise God, to be a child, a son and a daughter of God, can stand or sit in the presence of God. So why don't you declare to the old devil who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy you, that's John 10:10. Why don't you decide to read the rest of John 10:10 where Jesus came that you might have life and a more abundant life? That's taking up the cross and following Jesus. Why don't you tell that devil to get under your foot? Why don't you say, "Devil, in Jesus' name"? Don't say it in Corey's name. It will mean nothing. Don't say it in your church's name. It will mean nothing. But when you say, "In Jesus' name," I mean, there's power. Because the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. When you're having financial problems, don't go to the banker first. No, start declaring Jesus over your finances. And then God might say, "Get to the banker." But He might say, "Hey, sow a seed. Get the seed in the ground, girl. Come on, fella, get that seed in the ground." You see, there's something about taking up the cross and not just following Him on Sunday or Easter, but following Him daily. Amen. Listen to me. You don't have to know a lot of scripture to follow Jesus. But when you follow Him, you start learning. I can do all things through Christ. When I back into the box at any rodeo in the country, and I've been at all of them. I've been roping professionally for a long time. Reno is here. And I mean, there's a lot of people that have rodeoed. And you get into some high-pressured situations. You rope at Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's the biggest rodeo of all. That's why they call Cheyenne the daddy of them all. I back into the box, and then there's lots of pressure because there's thousands of people watching. You want to perform. That is not the time to let fear overtake you, but yet it does to a lot of people. Fear tries to get us to not believe the Word of God. Well, when you say the name of Jesus and you take up the cross and follow Him daily, that's when you just begin to not have to know all the Scriptures, but what about one? When I say, as that fear is trying to come on to not miss, to, you know, not have success, I say the Word of God, which is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I might have to say it over and over before I back into the box at a big rodeo. I can do it. I can do it through Christ. Don't leave out Christ. See, that's what taking up the cross and following Jesus is. Because again, remember the last part? What profit is it to a man or a woman to gain the whole world, to win the world championship, to win Cheyenne, Wyoming, to win the football game, to have success in business, to have rain on the ranch land? What profits a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Because this is just a temporary life, y'all. Listen to me. It's a temporary life that should get you fired up about the resurrection of Jesus. But you can't do it if you don't pick up the cross. Remember, what does the cross mean? It was a torturous thing that we have on our walls. That's what it represents, the humiliation and the terrorism that Jesus went through. Now here's the good news, y'all. Look at me. I'm shutting the book. That's not the good news. I mean, you need to open it. I'm kind of messed that one up. I mean, I'm just ending, and I'm trying to make a point here. It's what I was trying to do. The good news is now that Jesus is at God's right hand, the Bible says that He's praying. He uses the word intercession. He's interceding for you, brother. Look at me. Ma'am, He is interceding and praying for you individually. He knows your name. He knows all the hair on your head. There's not a lot. He knows every sparrow that flies. He knows what you're thinking, sir. He's ready to intervene on everything that you're going through. And if you just take up the cross, He says, hey, I got you, girl. Come on. Trust me. He knows every thought life of every single person in this building. All He's saying is, when you take up the cross, do it daily. I didn't say you wasn't going to make some mistakes. Come on, man. That's actually why Jesus died as well, is we live under grace and mercy and forgiveness. Amen. This guy said amen loud, so he must be needing it, brother.
That's right.
You see, there's something about just being humble, not God humbling you. I heard that growing up, y'all. You better watch out, son. God will humble you. Yo mama. It's not anywhere in the Word of God where God humbles you. Oh, you can probably take some scripture and, you know, do like a lot of people do and make... No, you know what the Bible says? Humble yourself. There's something about being humbled when you take up the cross. But when I counsel people, y'all, no matter what it is, you know what the first thing I say? Thank God it wasn't me. Whatever they're going through, whatever they need counsel about, I always start out to myself saying, thank God it wasn't me. Because then I understand that they're in that situation and it could have been me just as well as them. And it's an easier way to then counsel them so that they have victory. And then the devil's the one that brings condemnation, y'all. But God, he's the one that brings mercy, love, grace, forgiveness. So today, as I second close, let's pick up the cross. Let's follow Jesus. He loves, hey, listen, brother, he loves you more than you can imagine. And I'm not talking about a counterfeit love, a perverted love. No, I'm talking about what the word calls agape love. He loves you with that kind of love no matter what. He loves me despite of my problems. They're just maybe problems that you'll never know about. I don't put stuff on Facebook. I'm smarter than that. I'll never forget this quick story. This is the third closing. It was April. I'm a jokester, right, London? I mean, my family knows that I like to have fun. Yeah, I'm not a boring preacher, I'm telling you. I told the Lord years ago that I refused to not have fun serving Him, and I refused to be a fat preacher. That just was my deal. So, on April 1st, being April's Fool's Day, I put a post that said, well, I just want to let everybody know that Jamie's pregnant. Now, Seth's already pretty old when I did it. That was the worst thing I could have ever done because it made everybody giggle except a couple of people. The ones that, oh, I got tortured from a couple of them that couldn't get pregnant. And I wasn't thinking about that. I was just making a joke. So from that point on, I don't put stuff on Facebook much. The point is, y'all, is our God, since Jesus was raised from the dead, He doesn't hold all your sin against you. No, He shed His blood on the cross and then was raised from the dead so that you can have victory over sin. Sin does not have victory over a believer. It's up to you to say no to sin, just like you can say yes to it. You can say no to Jesus, just like you can right now say yes to Jesus. Because God gave you a will. He gave you a will. You can say yes or no. He doesn't beat you up over the head with the Bible and make you do anything for Him. No, no. He sets before you life and death, blessing and cursing. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28. In that area, 30. Somewhere in Deuteronomy. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then He helps us and He says it's up to you to choose life so that you and your seed, you know who your seed is? Your kids and their kids and their kids. So that you and your seed will prosper. You notice He can't make you serve Him. You've got to do it yourself. So I implore you today, serve Him. Take up the cross and follow Him. One scripture at a time. That's why you come to church. As you start learning, you go to Bible study. Because you start learning about why did Jesus die and why was He raised from the dead. He did it so you can have victory. And then He did it so you can choose Him to get to a place called heaven. Listen to me. There's only one way to get to heaven according to John. All through the Word of God. Only one way to get to the heaven. Jesus declared it. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through me. That's why Jesus died, y'all. That's why we make Jesus the Lord of our life. Not a denomination. Not trying to be good enough to make heaven. Because you won't be good enough. You'll make mistakes. No, it's only through Jesus. So here's the question. Is Jesus Lord? Is he the Lord of your life? I'm talking about if you died and left this earth. And I'm not speaking death on any of you. I speak life over you. But I want you to think about something, because there's going to come a day when you're going to stand before God because you have left this earth and died in this flesh. And when you stand before God, by the way, Jesus is going to be right beside God with this book called the Book of Life. And when you stand in front of God, God's going to say one of two things. Either well done, come on into heaven, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Obviously, I don't want anybody to go to the place called hell. I don't care how bad you've treated me. I don't care if you stabbed me in the back, if you've mocked me, even like Jesus was mocked. I want you to go to heaven. That's where my heart is. But there's only one way. By receiving Jesus. If you confess Him with your mouth, this is Romans 10:9, and believe that God raised Him from the dead, that's what we're celebrating today. So you confess Jesus. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Come into my heart, sir. Be the Lord of my life. That's what we're fixing to pray. And then believe that God raised Him from the dead. The Bible says you'll be saved. That means when you stand before God, God's going to say, well done. Well done. He's not going to say, how many times did you pray? How many times did you read the Bible? No, He's just going to say, if Jesus is your Lord, remember, Jesus with this book is going to go, yep, Father, what's today's date? The 31st of April. The 31st of March. I just seen if He was there. So-and-so, their name's right here, sir. May the 10th, 1979. Jesus is going to say, sir, May the 10th, this is Corey Ross. He gave his heart to me. Otis Baptist Church, right outside of Carlsbad, New Mexico. It's right there. God's going to say, well done, Corey. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Is He going to say that to you? If not, pray this prayer with me right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? I'm not talking about you've heard of Him. I'm talking about, do you know Jesus? Have you ever said, Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my life and save me. If you've done that, He's going to say, come on into heaven when you leave this earth. But if you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, make heaven your home when you leave this earth by praying this prayer. I'm going to ask everybody in here to pray the prayer I'm about to pray. Even believers. The reason I have believers do it, as y'all know, you're going to possibly be praying with someone beside you, behind you, in front of you, to receive Jesus for the first time. We'll just pray it with them. If you're born again, you need to learn this prayer so that you can lead people to Jesus that wouldn't even come to a church service even on Easter. We need to start learning, because that's taking up the cross and following Him, as we're going to serve Him. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer right now out loud where your ears can hear it with all of us believers. You ready? Y'all that are watching, pray this prayer if you've never prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life. And let's all pray it just like this. Out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead. I'm a believer in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord. Today I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. Forgive me of all my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Before I say amen, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want you to know that angels in heaven are rejoicing. It's a wonderful thing. But here's the thing. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before the Father. In other words, don't ever be ashamed of Jesus being your Lord. I don't care how someone might make fun of us, persecute us. No. Jesus is my Lord, because I know this life's going to end one day. If Jesus just became your Lord and you prayed that prayer for the very first time this morning and you gave your heart to Him, Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand straight up with boldness. No one's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. Get that hand straight up. All you're saying is, God, I prayed that prayer and Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand down after you do that. And I want you to do it with boldness again. Ready? On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory. I want to hold your hand up just for a second. I want to hand you a Bible really fast. All over there. I want to hand a Bible to you. Right over there. Just hold your hand up. When you get a Bible, you can put your hand down. We'll get you a Bible. Glory be to God. Man, lots. Just right here in the front, we'll get you a Bible right up here, ma'am. I promise. Just one last second. If you hadn't got a Bible, just get your hand up. All you're declaring is, Jesus is now my Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. All right, everybody, look at me. I can't tell you how many hands went up and got Bibles. Listen. You're now my brother and sister in Christ. When I'm hurting and preachers hurt too, y'all, I need you. We're family. I don't want you putting me down. I don't want you to judge me if I did something wrong. That's families don't do that. Now, don't get me wrong. Family will tell the truth. We're bold, but not in a way to hurt you. When I'm hurting, we need you. But when you're hurting, look at the family. You got a lot of people that are pray for you, build you up. We're a family. So we got to start treating, even if I did something wrong and hurt you, please forgive me. I'm still your brother and sister in Christ. So all y'all that raise your hands, if you don't have a church home and you live around here, I don't know of any other church as good as this one. That'd be bad if I said something different. But if you don't live around here, and I'm not saying everybody's called to here, find you a good Bible-believing church where you live. I'm just saying, God loves you no matter what. And he'll get the roughness off of you if you're a little rough around the edges. He just loves you. But if you don't live here, find a good Bible-believing church where you live and take up the cross and follow Him daily. And watch what happens to your life. Did y'all have a good time this morning? All right.